Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is the Snapcast brought to you by Wellspring Nonprofit Resources and the Nonprofit Snapshot. We are recording in Strongbox West in Atlanta. It's a cold and wintry day outside. Today at the table we have
Caroline Eccles, and I'm a principal of Wellspring Nonprofit Resource.
And I'm Mickey Desai. I run the Nonprofit Snapshot. Today our guest at the table is
Lindy Chafin Start of Unstoppable Start Studios.
And you've brought an interesting topic to us today. You titled it, I believe, All Your Constituents Are Dying.
Absolutely.
So what? That sounds like a real problem for nonprofits. What do you do?
And why is that? Right. Why are they dying? Why are they?
Well, some of them literally are dying. Yes. I still work for a museum and all of our constituents were dying. That's, and we had to get them off the mailing list. Yeah.
That is very true.
Yes.
As the generations age out, that's what happens. And you have younger generations that you're trying to bring into the fold.
Right.
As these people pass away. So yes, in the literal sense, they are. Some of them are dying. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate. So how do you make up for that? Where are we? What kind of questions do we have around that?
Well, how do you develop new constituents? Like, how would you go into a new market? Like, say it's a museum and you're trying to get a different type of donor or different type of member to come in. I mean, you can do that, I guess, through different exhibits that would, that those people might be interested in. But that's one issue this museum had is they couldn't get, like, all they had were old white people coming.
Right.
And they couldn't get anybody new.
Well, I think that's the overall question of nonprofits in general. It's like, how do you forever replenish and renew your constituent base? Outreach, and there's another word I'm looking for here and I can't think of it. How do you do outreach in general, right? How do you find new stakeholders?
Sure.
Right.
Well, I mean, first things first, you kind of have to understand who your donors are.
Right.
And one of the things you can do is develop donor personas. So in small business marketing, what I always say is know your audience.
Right.
But in nonprofit, it's virtually the same thing. Your donor persona is like building a backstory for anybody who could and would want to support your cause. So you start with the ones who are aging out and work your way backwards. So start with, where are we, traditionalists who might still be contributing to nonprofits or might be creating estate gives for people as they pass, and find out how they like to be messaged to. I mean, there are generational consultants out there that can help, and they have lots of books out there about generational consulting, so know this topic. I work with a generational consultant regularly, so I know this kind of intimately at this point, and of course as a marketer you have to. But traditionalists like tactile, they like print, they like being able to talk to people, they like messages on paper. You step back to oh my goodness, going backwards is not helping me at all today. Baby boomers. So baby boomers kind of let a little bit of that go. They're people who are going to be more likely to support causes, but they're also the kind of people who look for bargains, so they're not easy when it comes to parting with money. But they're also no longer the largest generation. So Generation X, which is my generation, our generation falls next, and we are more the half in between digital, half in between paper. We believe in a compelling story, and storytelling is a huge part of this. But how do you get that story to Gen X? And do they have the money to give? Well, yes and no. Some of us do, some of us don't. If you keep going back, next is our fun millennial group. So these guys are the largest generation that we're dealing with right now. And they are mostly digitally native. They definitely like a compelling story, but they like it more visual than they do on paper. So you have to be willing to think in terms of digital when it comes to the younger generations. And you have to be willing to think in terms of paper when it comes to the older generations. And there has to be kind of a good mix all the way around. I know about millennials are all about getting involved in a cause.
Right.
They love their causes. But they don't just want to give money to a cause. They want to be part of
the cause. Right. They want to volunteer.
Exactly. So, and you need to count that as part of the fundraising effort. So, so that's where I would start, is mm-hmm. developing those personas. Find out who that is. Get down ground level, knock on a few doors, find out who some of your donors are in each of the age groups, and find out what appeals to them, and then take that knowledge and start creating campaigns around it.
I've never heard of a generational consultant before. What's that?
A generational consultant. Well, it's just like what I was sharing with you, except they have so much knowledge on the subject, it will blow your mind. My friend Sherry Elliott Urey is the generational guru. She's generationalguru.com. And she has a wealth of information, just published a new little book called Crack the Millennial Code. And it's the first book in a series of three about marketing to millennials. So cool. It's really interesting. It's how to get in their heads.
I'm thinking of the average nonprofit that I've had to deal with over the years. And in order to ask, well, first of all, most of them don't have a dedicated marketing person.
Right.
It's the, you know, the development individual who has to wear every single hat related to outreach and making the ask and all those things. So if how is that person supposed to be able to balance their attention between so many different market segments?
They cannot. Every nonprofit executive director listening to this cast right now, hear my words. You cannot have a development director act as your marketing director. It will not be successful. You will waste money. You will waste time. Spend money on the damn salary. Get a person in here who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And have them work closely with a development director as a team.
Right. Because they can only help each other.
Yes. And it's going to benefit the organization if you do.
Mm-hmm.
So trust me. It's so much more worth it just to pay that salary, even if it's $150,000 a year, you're going to make hand over fist what you would otherwise. So be mindful of that. They cannot be the same person.
Cool.
And outsourcing marketing, I mean, is that a good option?
Outsourcing marketing, I think, is a fair and reasonable thing to do. But you have to find an organization, and I'm sure like yours, who's willing to entrench themselves in getting to know this agency and what they're trying to accomplish, knowing their mission, being willing to talk to the constituents and the team and work as a team. I think that's the hardest part of that.
Yeah.
But you also need a liaison within the organization that you can talk to, and somebody you know, who can handle that function, again, outside of the development director.
Right. So going back to like the millennials and how to reach them, I know we use Facebook. You know, like the, I use Facebook. I'm not a Snapchat person, really, although I have friends. I don't know why. I just don't go to it.
Yeah.
Are millennials more apt to look at Snapchat, or are they more apt, like, what is their, like, platform?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, don't know.
So I can, my 11-year-old daughter is in the room. If I looked at her and said, honey, what do you think of Facebook? She'd say, that's for old people. it's for old people.
She would
people.
Not be wrong.
So, no, yeah. She would not. When you're talking about the different platforms, you kind of have to know their benefits. So just to kind of give you an example, Twitter's a great place to call out supporters individually. But Instagram's great for like running a campaign series countdown. Instagram and Snapchat are both great avenues to reach the younger generations, the millennials and the generation behind them, which is our kids, the Gen Z. This is Gen Z. Now, Gen Z is putting $44+ billion every year into the economy.
Good grief.
With our money. How's that possible?
They don't have a job. Happens. So just something to keep in mind, that you need to be able to talk to those younger constituents as well and tell the story, because they are being driven by the storytelling on Snapchat and ways to use that. But Snapchat's like, you got lots of opportunity there. Not only can you tell a story, but you can also create these lovely little geo filters. So if you have an event,
right,
you can have a geo filter where people are snapping and sharing your message. It doesn't cost a penny.
And is that at the event they're doing that, or before they go to the event?
Usually, I mean, I would say at, while they're, you know, if they're working on a volunteer project or they're raising money for, or there's an event, like a fundraising event where you're, you know, drawing people in and having them donate at the event, or ticket sales actually go as proceeds. create that geofilter and have them snap it to their friends, because their friends are going to want to get involved, and they've got lots of friends.
Well, this, sorry, Caroline.
Well, I'm brainstorming. So I'm thinking.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Like at an event, say we're raising money, like at the event, fund a need. So I say, okay, if y'all give $10,000 at this event, we can, you know, give however many people an ID and birth certificate or whatever your nonprofit does. So then could they Snapchat this to their friends and say, hey, y'all, help us reach this $10,000 goal?
In theory, yes, but it wouldn't be like live event focused, I don't think, necessarily.
You'd have to do some groundwork. You'd have to set the...
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but anything, I mean, as long as you can connect the dots, anything's possible.
Well, this raises the question to me, though, overall, in terms of how to even use Snapcast or any other social marketing tool. It all comes down to a certain level of content generation, right? You have to regularly steward the account itself.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So how, now I'm thinking of some of the stuff that I personally work on, like the thing about cars, the other podcast that I do with another gang of folks. I mean, there are only so many cool car photos that you can put up at any given time, and only so many car shows that we can go visit. Do we then just take a bunch of pictures and stretch those out over the month? Or, you know, especially when you have a full-time job on the side, how then do you donate your personal resources to keeping that stream active and involved and bringing in people? And that may not be a fair question to ask, so I do realize that.
Well, let's take the thing about cars and find an example. So,
and of course, now we're no longer talking about a nonprofit, but I think that...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But pick a story. Tell a story. That's what content is all about.
Sure.
Storytelling. So pick a car, any car, break it down to its nuts and bolts, quite literally, in piles, and rebuild that thing and capture the rebuilding of that thing as you go along.
Sure.
And you have, every time you do something,
right,
this is what I had to do, this is what I ran into, they don't make this part anymore, I had to have this part special made, I had to go to this junkyard to find this part. So tell the story. And the same thing exists for nonprofits.
They just have to figure out how to tell their story.
Yeah. It depends on, if I were going to go back to the Senior Connections or Project Open Hand example, it would be, we'll just use Meals on Wheels. Betsy is 98 years old. She wants to live in her home. She gets $200 a month in Social Security, which is enough to pay for her electricity, gas, and water. She has no money for food other than bananas and saltine crackers. How can we help Bessie?
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's all about telling that story. So there are pictures of Bessie. There's what Bessie deals with. And there's, okay, and we're leading up to the give at this point.
Right.
So it's just trying to frame the story and tell it in a compelling way and getting people involved. So if you're, you know, you can be part of Bessie's story by contributing time for Meals on Wheels delivery. You can be part of her story by helping with a home repair project. You can be part of her story by coming and creating a bag specifically for Bessie. You know, like at the food pantry. So there's all sorts of ways. Or you can create a bag specifically for her in your next grocery shop and drop it at this location. You know, so there's all different kinds of ways that you can contribute that might not necessarily be dollar amounts when it comes to individual donors, when we're not talking about the big funders anyway.
So when you're planning this camp, like say you're planning your annual campaign, and then you want your marketing to match that, like match your fundraising. I'm just thinking timeline, like how long, when do you begin your campaign and when do you end your campaign, and does your campaign ever end, and is there a beginning and a middle and an end to the story?
Sure. Everybody, it's all going to be different depending on the nonprofit, right? Depending on the story you're trying to tell, how much money you're trying to raise. You see people do it with the thermometers, you know, all the time, right? Annual giving. So the planning needs to start about 6 months in advance, because you can't just go knock on somebody's door and say, hey, Bessie, can I talk to you today?
Right. Right, you haven't heard about this, but.
Exactly. We're going to use you in a campaign. And then start it when you would logically start an annual giving campaign. And I would say carry the story, carry the message throughout the year. And make sure that people are aware of where the organization is as it goes through the campaign. The story doesn't have to be Bessie's story throughout the entire life of the campaign. It can be multiple stories throughout the life of right. the campaign. But just make sure when you're doing the campaigning that everything is branded to the nonprofit and that mm-hmm. the imagery and the messaging remains the same, even though the storyline,
right.
just like a movie, there's always going to be ups and downs. The hero is going to have a story to tell. There's going to be a point when they go, oh no, is he actually going to be able to do it? Mm-hmm. Are you actually going to be able to top out that thermometer? You want to be able to tell that compelling piece of the story. So the storyline will change, but make sure that everything stays the same campaign-wise. Imagery, messaging, so that donors and potential donors know that everything is tied together. Like, I know what I'm giving to. This is Bessie and her story, and I'm giving to Bessie.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Do you have any ideas about how to market to, like, a lower-income constituent, like, to get, like, for a community center who they want people in the neighborhood to come in, and these people are very poor, you know, that they just don't have access to maybe computers, or I guess everybody has a phone now, but, like, spreading a message to, like, they're not their donor base, but they're, like, people they're trying to help.
If they have, like, a neighborhood radius, I would stick to guerrilla marketing on stuff like that.
Right.
Canvassing? Well, maybe not even canvassing to start with, but if you see people active in the neighborhood mm-hmm. and there's somebody on the ground who can do, like, chalk drawings on a sidewalk that says, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches this way, what would we do at a senior center? Dance class, yoga class.
Yeah, that's like silver sneakers or whatever.
Yeah, silver sneakers this way. And go around the neighborhood with chalk, drawing arrows so that people know where to go to find stuff.
Sounds like a good project for a 14-year-old.
It does. Yes.
Plus, they can't be charged as an adult for vandalism, so.
Yeah,
very true.
And it's funny.
But just, you know, think about those fun little guerrilla marketing things that you can do.
Right. So there really is a way to reach everybody.
Mm-hmm. Huh. There is. And there's a way to do it for low to no cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, right. if you've got money to throw into a marketing campaign, and with a good marketer, you know, they'll be able to look at everything. And you know this from experience. They look at the entire campaign life. They look at what you're trying to make mm-hmm. out of it. And they can give you a solid budget. I mean, they know from the time it takes to do social media, if that's something that can be done in-house, can provide an editorial calendar, and, you know, that way mm-hmm. your people are doing it in the salaries that are already established, and, you know, you're not dealing with outside marketing right. expense. I think that's the thing that throws nonprofits, is because they think marketing budget, and they go, oh, we're going to have to come out of pocket and
right.
extra to make this happen. But if you, you know, if you have somebody who's working well with the team, mm-hmm. then you should be able to identify the strengths of those who are in-house who can take care of bits and pieces of the overall campaign and push it out that way. That way it keeps the extra marketing budget down.
Right.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, our wheels are turning. That's why I'm lapsing into silence. I'm like, okay, that gives me a lot to think about. But,
right.
but we have run out of time. Let's pick this up on the next episode. And I want to ask you also about, like, email marketing campaigns and stuff like that.
Sure.
So this has been the Snapcast, brought to you by
Wellspring Nonprofit Resource
and the Nonprofit Snapshot. Thank you for joining us. We're recording, as always, in Strongbox West here in Atlanta. You can find us online at thenonprofitsnapshot.org. Actually, it's not the Nonprofit Snapshot. It's just nonprofitsnapshot.org. Caroline, how do we find you?
Wellspringresource.org, I think.
Yes.
I don't ever Google myself.
Here we are making marketing 101. And Lindy,
right.
Lindy, how do folks find you?
Oh, I am Unstoppable Start Studios, so you can get your unstoppable start at unstoppablestart.com.
Fantastic. And on that note, we'll wrap things up. Thank you for joining us. We will see you next time.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.